Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome back to the Unreal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're going to be breaking down Season 3, Episode 3, titled Clarity. Guys, we're going to be talking feminism, fairy tales, and man buns. And, of course, we have Brennan Elliott in the studio. It's going to be a really good show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to our Unreal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43, joined by these lovely ladies here.
Hey, you guys, I'm Erica Edwards.
Hey, everyone, I'm Leslie Powers.
Hi, guys, I'm Taylor Gates.
And our special guest, Brennan Elliott. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I should say hello, ladies.
I know, this is like...
Even though we're wrapped, it was all guys this season.
It's what you're used to, though. You know, it's what you're best at.
Yes, I prefer a season with just women as opposed to guys with abs that don't eat, you know.
They don't eat? That's very sad.
The whole thing was, it was sad gram all year. It was just sad. Like... How do I get out of here?
Sad gram. Well, guys, like I said, we're going to be talking about everything in this episode. We're going to be asking a lot of questions, you know, for our special guest who has been here from the start in the show. He's not one of the core four, but, you know, he's trying.
I know, every episode, but I'm in the back. I'm like the creep. I'm like Uncle Creepy. He's here, but...
You're like the fifth wheel.
Yeah. Not the third one, the fifth. That's right. I like that, actually. Yeah, the fifth wheel.
So overall, what did you guys think of the episode?
Well, I loved it. I'm very worried about Quinn. I'm very worried about Rachel. But I'm most worried about John the bartender. He's out of a job, and he has a kid with cancer.
Yeah, he has a kid with cancer, and he's out of a job.
Yeah, I'm definitely worried about Quinn. There was a lot of drinking happening this episode. Worried about August's hair. This was sad.
R.I.P.
Yeah. R.I.P., yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I actually saw that they sell man bun extensions on Groupon, so I feel like August will be fine. I really liked this episode, and it was interesting to see that Rachel is really, really back. You know, in her lying ways. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I mean, I know you, Brennan, are kind of in and out, and you love the show, but this episode you got to do a lot of really fun stuff. You were a wizard.
Yeah, yeah. They make things up as we go along. We're always creating new stuff, and he I think the last couple of seasons he's played like 11 different types of characters or something. You know, just something to keep it interesting and fun. And I think last season was great, especially I enjoyed doing that. We had our director's name was not Sherry, but Cherie.
Oh,
I think it was her
first
name. She's from England.
Yeah.
And such a sweet lady. And we just kind of had some fun with it and just thought, make fun of Games of Thrones and all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
And, you know, the thing behind the kind of subtextual thing about the show is like, we make it up like right there. Like Quinn comes out or Rachel and says, we're doing this. We're doing it. Okay, fine. We just make it up.
Yeah.
And so we wing it and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. It's like, it's the comedy that's, it's got to have that heightened level, you know, and it's kind of stupid in a funny way, which kind of gives the audience a breather with really with the dramatic stuff that's happening. So it's a lot of fun.
And, you know, this episode, it almost seemed like it was a parody instead of the, I don't, have you ever seen Burning Love? It was
so funny.
It was a web series that ended up being on the E! Network, but it was a full on parody of The Bachelor. It had people like Michael Cera in it. I mean, huge crazy cast that just drop in and do these little parts.
Right.
I just watched it last night.
It's so funny. It's and if you guys haven't seen it, you totally should check it out. But this, you know, date, it seemed, the Rapunzel date, very much seemed like it could have been in that series. But it also brought out a lot of real things about feminism, which I think was a huge theme of the episode. It must have been very fun to see all of those men running around like that, though.
Not
I mean,
all.
Maybe not for you, but I'm just like pretending that I was there.
I mean, Graham's the most insecure human being on Earth, and then you wrap around like 20 guys that haven't eaten, and like, you know, they're in their washboard abs, and they're just sitting there like flexing. It was just miserable. It was actually miserable. Because I consciously go, Graham doesn't work out. He just drinks, does drugs, and just like calls hookers or something. I don't know what he does.
Or ex-contestants.
There obviously wasn't any there that were, you know, of the female kind.
Bummer.
So I don't know, maybe he'll switch sides someday. I have no idea. He's a mess. But no, all the guys were great. I mean, these were really great. But I think one of the great things about our writers is, you know, with the Me Too movement and what's going on now and kind of empowering this movement where everybody's equal and everybody gets, you know, all that stuff, which seems so weird to me. It should have been like this, you know, 100 years ago. But this movement is very important, and our writers really have a pulse on, you know, the politics and the social elements that are going on. And I think they – and this, we did this in January when this movement was really not even coming out yet. So I don't know how they tap in, but
I think they're psychics. I've said this before, because do you remember last season with the police shooting? And that was filmed well before all of that terrible stuff started happening with all of the police shootings.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And, you know, they didn't know whether they should, you know, air it or what it was, but they did it again.
Yeah. We always say that, that there's something going on over there in the writing room that we just are like, what?
Yeah.
How did you know that? You know what I mean?
They really are
amazing.
They're
in the zeitgeist very...
Yeah,
very much so.
Exactly.
Totally. That's, yeah, they're connected to something. Mm-hmm.
I really did love Serena's reaction, though, when she finally had had it and she threw her, what do they call them, like chicken cutlets? Or is that like the funny name for?
I think that's like the slang term.
The slang term for?
For bras with padding?
Yes. I mean, it's not even padding. It's kind of like chicken cutlets.
So I didn't even know. So you're telling me that like my wife put meat in her bra to kind of give her a little bit more volume? I'm confused.
Deli section.
I'm so connected to my family. It's amazing, isn't it? I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's actually chicken. So we're gonna tell all the men out there. It's actually, why do you think it's called chicken breast? It's not because it's from the breast, okay? It's because that's where you put them. I'm just kidding.
I've learned something.
Yeah. I really don't want you guys thinking that. Or I do. I think it'd be funny. Yeah. Okay, so what about Serena and Jasper? We have some tension here. Okay. He ran after she ran off and threw a temper tantrum. What are you guys feeling between them as far as chemistry? We learned some things about him later we'll get into, but does he really seem to care, or is he trying to get airtime? Like, what's going on?
I think it's a mix of both. I think she challenges him a little bit, and I think he likes that, but I don't think he wants to admit that because he has this bigger secret that we find out.
Yeah, I think it started out as one thing, but it's kind of evolving into, oh, I actually really like this girl.
Yeah, I think they definitely have a connection, and I feel like he definitely feels something for her, whatever his basis was for getting on the show. I think he definitely has a connection with her.
And I don't mean this to sound rude or judgy, but, you know, he's the only man, it seems like, on the show that actually has some kind of education or is intelligent. I mean, and is sweet, you know, but a lot of these guys are just, like, blue-collar guys, and this is a woman that they're comparing her to, like, the female Elon Musk. So he's really the only one that kind of is up to her standards.
Yeah, they live in the same world, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see what happens there, but like we said, I don't know why I said we'll get into it later. I literally have it next summer.
But I also like how the guys come on the show, which parallels even The Bachelor. Like, I'm sure all these contestants, guys and girls, get on the show because they want to have the screen time. They want to win.
Sure.
They want to get that 15 seconds of fame or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think they genuinely do, throughout the process, start to have genuine feelings. I mean, yes, they're manipulated, and that's what obviously we're showing. But I think there's general feelings there, and they actually start to fall in love and start to get jealous, start to get angry and frustrated and like... You know, catfights happen and all that stuff happens. And I think that's what's refreshing for our show is that there is some real elements in the world of Unreal that your guys are questioning, which I think is what makes the audience tune in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's real and what's not real? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I actually like the diversity in the different occupations of The Bachelors because to me, I feel like if you are this strong person in business, I don't know. Like, I was an attorney. I don't like dating lawyers. Like, you like people that can bring something different to the table and kind of challenge you in a way that isn't necessarily in your workplace. So I think that some of that, I mean,
you're around the lawyers all day. Like, why would you want to, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, I don't want to come home and argue with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it can be, an interesting thing. You know, you come home and your man takes off his fire coat or whatever. I think, you know, she might be able to get into it.
Do you need to have a break right now? It's getting a little hot over there.
Oh, you have no idea.
We've only started, boo.
Yeah. The past 2 weeks, I mean, it's you're a smoke show yourself, but, you know.
It must have been Graham and the Wizard outfit that just did it for all the ladies. They just went nuts, right?
Absolutely. Is what did it? But you know, I think as far as like all the men, it's complicated and it's different, and it's also a competitive thing.
Totally.
And that is what this challenge, date, whatever you want to call it. I think all the guys kind of just they want to win, and with women, like they want to find love or fame. The guys want to find fame and win. I think more than anything else.
There's a different competition level there. Like women, I think genuinely. In season one and two, generally, I think, there's that element of wanting to have their 15 seconds of fame, but I think they want to find love. They want to see if this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men, maybe they want that in the back of their mind, but they have other alpha male energies that they want to do first, competition and everything else. And I think that it's nice to see, like, Bart's character, to see certain characters kind of have feelings where you're questioning, like, well, maybe he really does like her, which I think already in episode three we're having, which is...
Is he there for the right reasons?
Right, absolutely.
You know, we have a really interesting conversation, though, speaking of masculinity, you know, in a hot tub... I gotta love all the guys just piled in the hot tub, like, drinking their drinks, just, like...
Testosterone, just, like...
Just masculinity.
Yeah, but just talking about Serena, and they're like, we like her so much. And Jasper's like, do you really? Like,
it's, or it's because she's the only female within, besides, I guess, Rachel and Quinn, within their reach that they can talk to.
Yeah.
Besides each other. It's
like, the only woman on set. When all the guys are there and she's there, it's...
It's, yeah.
The
yeah.
only woman. I mean, it's... Wow.
They're all trying to impress.
Yeah. I mean, it is like a psychological kind of thing that it's whether it's the Bachelor or the Bachelorette or, you know, suitor, suitress, you know, it's all of them I always think, what if there was another man here? What if there was another woman here? Would some of the girls be like, ooh, I'll take that one instead?
Yeah. That one looks good. But they did that with Caitlin and...
well, that was, that
on The Bachelor.
If they were ever going to do that, it should have been done with a man first. So on The Bachelorette, there was one season where they couldn't decide who they wanted from the previous season. Oh. So they pit two women up against each other on the first night.
Oh, really?
And the men voted.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Awful.
Yeah. I know. Way to go right for the jugular, huh?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. But,
oh, my God.
That sounds like how Facebook got started, hot or not. Yes. I mean, that sounds really
It sounds like an episode of Unreal. It doesn't sound like it should have happened on The Bachelor.
That's something. We're going to steal that. But we get a season five, I can see it's going to be two girls. And
God. Two girls
and a vote.
Two guys.
A bunch of
two
women.
Guys.
Yes. Or, you know, a guy and a girl. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
But, yes, we find out that Jasper is here on a bet. I thought of every 90s movie, specifically She's All That. There's also, I think there was one called Whatever It Takes. It was like one of James Franco's first movies. But it's all about guys betting to see if, like, they can go out with the ugly girl and make her pretty, or if they can, you know, get laid by prom night.
Is John Tucker Must Die one of those? Can't remember.
Ten Things I Hate About You?
Yeah.
Is that like that
too?
Yeah, it's a very, like, stereotypical masculine competitiveness thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gonna get her? You gonna get her? No, I'm gonna get her first. You know, like, everybody's... Which seems so, like, so base, and it's like the human nature. It's so masculine on a really low level. But I think men do that in these kinds of contexts. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a pretty woman, there's an educated woman, there's somebody who's smart, whatever, and all these guys are competing for this one woman. And I think competition is part of a men's DNA. And I think that the writers really wanted to elevate that at times. Mm-hmm. You know,
most of the men in the hot tub were appalled, though.
Oh, yeah. They were like, how dare you?
Yes. Especially Owen. I mean, I don't know. I'm just ready for all their periods to sync up.
Oh, I can't wait. They start brawling with each other. Like that scene in Mean Girls where they, like, turn into animals in the...
Yes.
Well, just wait. You never know.
I mean, we've already had some fights. I like the fights.
Yeah.
But once this comes out, I mean, everyone is surprised by it. First of all, it's $400,000. That's not like, I'm going to bet you $200.
It's just like pocket
You can have sex with her on prom night.
Right.
Wow, that's a house. Yeah. That's a nice house. Very nice home. Mm-hmm. $400,000. But
he's not here.
I was about to say, a very small
maybe
room.
Maybe it's like Vermont or Ohio or somewhere.
Exactly.
But here you're living in a one-bedroom in Eagle Rock.
Exactly. In Los Angeles.
Which is great. I live in Eagle Rock.
That's a studio in Westwood. But you are right.
Yeah. It's still quite a bit of money. All of the men are kind of ready to, like, tell. Mm-hmm. And the producers are handling this quite differently because... Jay thinks that villain wifey, that's the best. There have been many villain wifeys in Bachelor history.
Mm-hmm.
And they get chosen. And it's always this big, like, oh my God. And I love that they're calling them wifeys, that this is the first season they've ever done this, that they don't have a name for, I mean, what would the name be? Like, oh, hubby.
Hubby.
Yeah,
duh. Hubby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hubby. But... Jay's character, wifey, that's how he would operate.
Yeah.
He's always, well, he's a wifey.
Whose producer is Jasper? I'm trying to remember. Is it Rachel or Jay?
It's Rachel.
Yeah, I think it's Rachel.
Oh, yeah. She wants him to win.
It's Rachel.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, things are kind of being like, for now, it's not going to be told. But obviously, it's a ticking time bomb. That secret is going to come out. And then I want to talk a little bit about August and Serena.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It. We're gonna get into Quinn right after this, but he's not. I don't really know like what he's doing or what he wants. Why he's there? I almost wish there was an explanation. Oh, I want to promote my nonprofit.
Yeah, exactly.
After this, yeah. Or like,
I have a book coming out.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure why he's there, but she mm-hmm. totally falls for it. And it's.
He seems genuine, though.
What I kind of like about...
He seems genuine with Quinn, too.
Yeah. He seems genuine, and he clearly is not. And so that's the issue that I have with him. It's like, okay...
The worst kind.
He seems like, oh, he's nice. He's helping the people. And he's a sleaze. Like, he's a hoe. He was going to hook up... You know, like, the whole thing with him is so irritating. Meanwhile, he's on this date seeming totally authentic and talking to Quinn through the camera. Like, where are they doing this?
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah.
And the thing I loved about that scene is that Rachel knows that play because Adam used to do it to her first season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't get by her. Uh-oh. She's like, he's talking to you.
Yeah.
Like she could
not talking to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those two ladies, man. Yeah. They're like sharks. They're smart.
Yeah, you know, that was a cool scene. That was so cool.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, after the first episode, or the second episode, when him and Quinn hooked up, I even said, I was like, does he think she's Rachel?
I was going to say, like, to go back to what you were saying about, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on with August, is that what I was worried about with this season coming in is I just didn't want it to be, you know, like a bunch of guys with their shirt off and a bunch of meat. Because, I mean, that's
right.
boring.
Mm-hmm.
And they were well cast. Well, for 5 minutes, it looks great. And then you're going, okay, now what? Like, you're already going, okay, where's he cooking? So... And they do open up. The storylines, really, you guys are going to be very pleased with where these characters go. And I think the way they cast these guys, they're so fantastic that they're right for their roles, but they're also great actors. And the storylines, there's a lot more depth there that we're just starting to kind of touch the surface. And these guys delivered that. And it made it more of just they're human beings and they're interesting people as opposed to just guys fighting for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I thought that was something that made the season special, is that all these guys, great actors, and they really delivered. And the storylines were really a lot more deep than... You might think.
Yeah, August is convincing.
Yeah.
Like, he's good. He's a good actor.
Yeah. Well, he's the most dangerous kind.
Oh, yeah.
He really is. Before we start talking about Quinn, very powerful woman, I want to tell you guys about another very powerful woman we all love here at AfterBuzz TV. If you guys want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, have we got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. It's so much fun. It's a lot of fun to listen to, so I highly suggest you do it. Quinn.
Boss,
we should just start calling her Rachel.
Honestly, they're switching roles.
They are. It's
they're
strange.
Kind of amalgamating into one.
Yes, it's true.
Big
they
brain.
Love each
Big
other.
Big brain.
They love each other so much.
Yeah, I mean, they are Eskimo sisters. Well, no, they're not Eskimo sisters. They're almost Eskimo sisters. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of hoping they become Eskimo sisters still.
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. That's, you know, it's a little
off. It's
there,
so hard for me to sit here and listen to you guys talk about
things that
season
you know.
Three, episode three, when we've already shot all three and four.
Yeah.
And you're saying things that are popping. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but things that I just go, oh.
You're like reality Steve.
Just wait. No doubt,
you
right?
You know all the things.
He knows
if
everything.
They only knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, these sex scenes between Quinn and August, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't hate them.
No.
And I think they're like rather funny too. It's an interesting dynamic. What do you guys think about these scenes?
That's what I thought too. Mm-hmm. I really liked the opening, how it kind of subverted those expectations where she's just, it's all like animal, like let's have sex.
Yeah.
And he wants to like talk about romance and like getting away. And that really flips what you would think, you know, with the girl like wanting the romance. Like I just really like how they play on that. Like we were talking about like feminism and gender roles earlier, and like even scenes like this where they're more, you know, funny and kind of like,
but it also
soapy.
Makes you think, like, do they really like each other?
Right.
Does he really
like
her? Obviously, he really likes her, but does he? And with her, is she starting to feel things for him?
Right.
Like, those emotions, just because they're under this context, they're there and they happen and they're dangerous.
She's good at suppressing, so.
I think she does, because at the end she says, if you want to stick around, you have to impress
and the
Serena.
Way she, and the way she does it is always in that Quinn way where she's very powerful and strong. But it's that toughness, but underneath, you know, maybe she's coming from that place of like, you know, I really dig this guy. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, because I think that she really does, and she is dropping very subtle hints the way she did with Chet and John Booth, and
and just the way she reacted to Serena and his date when she was in the control room. I was like, oh, she's so jealous.
She's like, oh, please, you're saying all the things you said to me 2 hours ago,
and that was the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. The scenes I like. It's interesting. I think, aren't they all in her office or something? So that's kind of like, ooh. But
this is a lawyer, everybody.
Fantasy.
Yes, yes. That's the office we all want.
Take a note over here.
I'm going to want her representing me.
But yeah, I do like that Quinn is actually, I like the jealous part. I thought that was kind of cute. And even though she knows that this is putting her job on the line. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Although I'm still not a true August fan, because this whole flip from Rachel to Quinn really turned me off. But, but yeah, I want Quinn to be happy. I want her to get somebody.
So. Yes.
Yeah, but, God. I mean, it never works out, I don't think, with any of these men.
No.
That it's, you know, Adam was... It's like, we loved Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the chills. What is wrong with me? Oh, my God. But it's like, you knew the whole time. You're like, oh, yeah, this is not going to end well. This isn't going to end well, but I love him.
I do. Yeah. I loved Adam. But I think it's ultimately a love story with Rachel and Quinn.
Yeah.
It's never going to be about the guys, like you're saying.
I know.
It's never going
to. No, it's true. I mean, the show is really a romance. Not really a romance. Mother-daughter. Yeah. Whatever that is, that dynamic between these two women, and that's really what the show starts. It starts always with them, and that's what it's always through that kind of prism, and that's what makes it interesting. Is everything else are these like tentacles from that?
Yeah,
and so we always got to go back to that. You know,
what do you guys think is going on with this UTI? They keep on saying it, and it's not. It's getting like past the it's a funny connection that they can make with women, and it's like, okay, cool. We've said it 4 times now. There's something else going on.
I tweeted that yesterday. I was like, it can't just be that because they're hitting it too hard.
Yeah.
Like if, I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but I feel like, you know, when they play something up so much, they're leading into something deeper or more serious or something.
I actually didn't think about that until just now when you guys said it, that I'm like, yes,
me
that makes
either.
Sense.
I was like, I guess he has a UTI.
I just heard harder, deeper, and serious. UTI in the same sentence. I was just like, wow.
Yeah. It's all
too home. Soon. A little too soon. All right.
Never too soon.
Never lend Vipe Grant back, ever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's... I don't know what correlates the symptoms of a UTI that's not a UTI, like an STD?
Maybe.
I mean, it seems like it's going to be something more serious. I don't know if it's having to do with her having a child or, like...
Ooh, Brendan, you know, don't you?
I have no clue.
He's like, I don't even know what a UTI is, okay?
I thought it was like some sort of transport downtown. Like, to take the UTI, and then you get on the 2.
Is that a Canadian thing? That
I know, right?
Well, you know, at the end of the episode, she calls it off with August. She throws in the towel. I don't think it'll be the last time. Let's hope not, okay?
No.
For TV's sake. Jay is finally getting some story.
I'm so
happy. So freaking excited about this storyline. First of all, his pitch to Quinn about this, like, underground dance, New Orleans, like... And is it with gay guys in it? Or is that the theme of...
Yeah, I think that's why she originally was so against it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, we see this connection he has with Alexi, who I think is so funny. He really cracks me up.
He's got good timing.
Really good timing.
Good timing.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of this thing going on between him and Alexi? I mean, Alexi kisses him. He touches him. Like, it's very clearly, I'm either bi or, you know, I'm gay, I'm into you. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I felt a lot of chemistry there, except for I remember last week I thought there might be something between Rachel and Alexi, so maybe there's going to be a love triangle?
I think Rachel could have chemistry with a tree. Every time I see a guy look at her, I go, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Chemistry with a tree.
She's like catnip. It's like crazy.
And then you have to ask yourself, well, what will someone do for fame, you know?
Yeah.
There's that element of what will some of these people do? Mm-hmm. Is it real love? Is it real feelings? Or are they, like, will you... You know, if you're a heterosexual male, you try the other side just to get somewhere.
Well, you see Madison doing it with
Madison,
Gary.
Right? Ugh. So there's a lot of those little subtextual things going on in the stories of what people will do. And then when you do it, maybe you do cross that line and get caught up in it. Like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to do this at work because it's going to help my career or whatever. I mean, this happens, I'm sure, all the time. And on our show, there's that manipulation, and Jay's going to help him win. So maybe he's...
But then
you never know. Yeah. It could go someplace where he maybe maybe we realize he's bi, or I don't know. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I liked that that twist in the storyline, because I was working on a script that I was writing myself where I wanted the idea of the dancer, because I've met so many gay dancers, and I want the idea of either a heterosexual dancer pretending to be gay, or you know, or him pretending to be heterosexual. So I think that whole little twist should be interesting to see.
Yeah,
where Alexi really stands, if we ever find out.
I mean, I think we will. It's going to be.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll find out. It'll happen.
And it'll write the rest of your script for you,
there
probably.
You go. Exactly,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Alexi.
You didn't hear it from me.
I mean, I do know from some stuff that I've read.
It's tough, man. I feel like I'm hearing you guys talking and going, I know.
I know. He's like,
do
oh
I say? Do I not say?
Yeah. Do I not say?
I hope they can't read minds.
No, exactly.
I can. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you don't want to get in this one.
No. Well, the show apparently that Jay pitched is now going to be hosted by Alexi, which, you know, or apparently, and, you know, I like the idea that kind of another show is in the works while this show is happening and they're doing all this planning. It could completely be blown up, but I want Jay to have this show.
Yeah, I'm excited that he's getting his own sort of storyline and, and getting a more prominent part and kind of establishing himself. Like, even the way Quinn was talking to him was, like, nice for Quinn.
It was for like a minute, yeah.
I was like, wow. And I think I liked how it showed how smart Quinn actually is. Like, she's good at manipulating people and stuff, but she's also good at developing TV shows.
Right.
And we get to see that in action. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah,
I agree.
And we love Jay. Jay's the best.
And Jeffrey's rock. He rocks. He's a great actor. He's a beautiful, beautiful. I was calling him beautiful. That's why I say
he is
beautiful.
He's a beautiful
person. And that, and seasons, you know, this is a great season for him.
Good.
And even season four is great. I mean, obviously everybody. But he got a lot more, they got more into his character, I think, a lot this year, in this season. And as you're starting to unfold. And it's well-deserved, you know.
Yeah. I want to talk about Chet's new, he's like a newfound feminist all of a sudden.
Yes.
I don't understand exactly how it happened so fast, how he like switched teams. Were you guys at all confused? You know, you're like, well, I thought last week, like... He wanted
her to be all...
He hasn't been eating enough, and he's gotten all weird in his head.
I know.
So
yeah.
He's all like...
The paleo diet, you know.
The paleo diet's changed him completely.
I feel like he thinks that it's a hot button, the way that the writers of Unreal know it's a hot button. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Chet within the show thinks that this is the hot button way to go.
To talk about right now, yeah.
Because Rachel's kind of feeding that to him.
Yeah.
So.
At least her... I think her manipulation is trying to do something good, at least, this time. And she's manipulating Chet to do what she wants, and I'm happy. I'm like, oh, thank God, she's using her powers for good to, like, get her message out there. And, yeah, we learned some interesting stuff out about Owen, and it's such an interesting conversation that they had, which was exactly what they wanted, you know, that he doesn't like the word feminist. He doesn't consider himself one because when he got back from Iraq, his wife handed him the baby, left him for his best friend, and, you know, she kind of was, I'm a feminist, and... It makes a lot of sense. Do you think they're going to try to villainize him through those shots, those videos they took?
Oh, yeah. I think
for sure.
Chet sees, like, this is an Emmy because I have two sides of the story. I have this guy who, you know,
it's almost like Chet operates like producers in this business. Like, what's the hot topic right now? Okay, let's go there.
Yeah.
As opposed to making that decision on how you feel like you want to make, you know, if you're writing something or you're producing something or whatever. It's less about what your instincts are, what you want to do, and more what's hot right now. I mean, I think Chet has that kind of in his character at some level.
Yeah.
He obviously knows his character better than I do. But it's like if Quinn says, AfterBuzz TV, those colors, yellow and white, that's what's hot right now. He's like, love it.
Yeah.
Yellow and white?
Yeah. I'm going to pitch it to the
Brilliant.
Network.
Brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, you've met them. You guys have all met them. There's those people that are like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like that's the thing. I don't think Chet is legitimately switching to now being a feminist.
No.
He's like, no, this is going to give me my Emmy. Yeah. I'm totally down for it. And if it's something else next week, then next week it'll be the LBG.
Which is the same thing we're talking about. Fame is important to people.
Yes.
And, and our show tries to show that how far will you go to have fame? And within that, you fall in love and you have hatred and there's fights. There's all these different things that happen. But how powerful is that pull to be important, to be somebody, you know? And to Chet, that Emmy's so important that he'll be a feminist if that's what you want him to be.
But he's so interesting with Quinn because I feel like he softens Yeah. He softens with Quinn and he really cares about her.
I think deep down he does love her, obviously.
And wants her to be successful and not spiral.
Yeah.
Because he's not drinking or eating, apparently, right now. Well, so he's like on
he's
the
cut
thin.
Out his calories. He's just like,
he's very clear on life. But, you know, and Jeremy's outburst during this whole thing was very interesting, you know, to me. Josh, so good. Like, he's such a good actor. And it's interesting because when we've had him on before, we had Josh on last season, Josh Kelly, after the episode where he hits Rachel. And we, I was like, oh, God, I mean, this is going to be brutal for him. And he really does explain it in a way that you do feel for the guy. And this line specifically, like when he kind of said all that, I go, okay, I get this. Mm-hmm. I get why he said that. And, you know, when he meets this new woman, I feel bad for her. I mean, she's just gonna
even know.
But very few actors can take, how do I say this correctly? Very few actors can take that kind of abusive scene, that kind of content, that kind of very sensitive, disgusting behavior, and give an audience. You judge him for what he's done. He's completely wrong, and that's insane. And then understand where maybe his motives are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're a woman watching it. You know what I mean? Like, I watched even on Twitter, and people like hated what he did. Obviously, I did. It's disgusting. Yeah. That's what it was written for. But when you realize the pain and all the stuff that's going on, you realize that that's why he can justify it as an actor. And you have to justify it as an actor. It doesn't mean you go and you have a bad day and you physically, you know, assault someone. But that was a tough scene to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and it was – and I think that's one of the great things about the show is that they tackle really uncomfortable things, you know, in a way that – is sometimes uncomfortable to watch, but yet also has this little element of humor where you cannot take it so seriously at times, but then they have those. And it's life. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've never been in that situation, but there are guys out there that have done those things and women as well. And it's, we have to, these people, our show and our producers and writers are not scared to say, hey, here it is. You know, and that's, I think that's why people are kind of, the critics and people really love the show, is it's like, we're not going to hold back. We're just going to say, here it is. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Rachel, you know, we see her going on this downward spiral. Dr. Simon, I'm still just like, who are you, sir?
Yeah, I don't know about him yet.
Who are you, sir? She confessed to murder. I'm like,
I know,
Rachel,
I was like,
Rachel, to this rando that you know for three episodes?
Seriously.
Shiri does this thing, though. She's such a freaking good actress that I never know, like, what she's really doing or what she's really saying. Like, when she was telling him that, I'm like,
why are you telling him
that? You didn't just let this slip. Mm-mm. You know?
You're thinking she's got a motivation.
Yeah. That. I don't know if it's to, like, hurt Jeremy or, like, what it is. What did you guys think? And what do you think he's going to do with this information? Or does he already know?
He might already know. I mean, he might have been briefed by Quinn because he was brought in to watch Rachel. So maybe he already knows, and maybe he wants her to say more, or I don't know, maybe he really cares about her. Who knows? Anyone's motivation on the show. It's so confusing.
Yeah, I didn't think he was, I don't think he knows, because I don't think, I don't know, I just don't think Quinn would have told anybody.
True.
I mean, I think he has pure intentions with her. I think it'll stay confidential, as it should theoretically. But I don't know. Aren't there cameras everywhere? Maybe it's on tape somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it might come out, and we'll see to everyone.
It's also tough for him. Yeah. I'm just speaking for him as the actor that came onto a show. I mean, we don't have a lot of guest stars,
right?
Or recurs. We have all of us in this little bubble, and we're all kind of a big family, a very dysfunctional family, but we're a family. And he's one of the characters that obviously came in and was there all year that had to just walk in. And I remember talking with him in the very beginning going, dude, that's like, I'm walking into, like, you guys are like glue. And I'm like, what? Which works for Dr. Simon because he's coming into a whole new world. And so as the season goes on, he's starting to decipher and pull back, and you'll realize where his motivations are.
So there's more to Dr. Simon.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, exciting.
And, of course, we have the knife ceremony. I'm loving these, like, sponsored.
They're so good.
I don't think they would ever do anything like this on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I'm not sure, but the thing is, it is a poke because everyone ends up doing sponsored, like, Instagram posts and that whole thing, and it's like the show is struggling that much.
I was just saying, like, we're struggling, so we got to think of something to do. Right. And they go up to Grandma and go, we're going to do sponsorship. We're going to sell tire irons and all this. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, all that.
I forget that line that you said. It was like something about like love and knives or something. And it was just like, you like held it up and like made this great comparison. And it's always this like funny little like, you know, shot on your face. And with whatever.
I try to forget when it's over. How do I make something written so kind of surreal and idiotic, entertaining on some level? So I just do that. And when I'm done, I go, all right, whatever. You know? I hope it works.
Well, in Burning Love, like Sam mentioned, they have a hose because he's a fireman. So he says, will you accept my hose?
Will you accept my hose?
That's so funny. It reminds me of
very
what
funny.
You're doing.
Yeah, it definitely does. So before, guys,
that was the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, the Swiss Army knife. Yeah. That one. It those Swiss Army knives, you know, they're made for love, okay? They're made for love. I want to ask you some questions, of
course. Sure,
yeah. We had a great question from a fan, you know, that was, what has been your favorite season to shoot? And even if it's including season 4, you don't need to give us any spoilers, but if that was it, that's cool, because it's already been shot, if you guys didn't know.
I think I'd have to say season 4, every season it feels like its own show. Mm-hmm. I mean, season 1 was its own series. Season 2 felt like something completely different. This year, season 3 felt obviously different, and season 4 is the same. So, and I don't know if it's because it's fresh, but it was a lot of people that are back on the show have done it now for 2 seasons. So there's a lot of cohesive. It's a very tight group. Our crew is brilliant. I mean, the cast altogether. And so when you do a show more and more, you get deeper and deeper, more personal, and you get more connected. And season 4 was great. And I kind of just, and Graham loved the whole idea of the structure of the way we played Everlasting and the way we encompassed that as something that our stars and our lead producers can manipulate. So, but there's elements of every season I like.
I know you mentioned improv. I don't know if it was before we went on air or during the show, but, you know, do you do some improv, and is it just you that's doing the improv because of your role in the show, or does it happen?
I do verbatim the lines.
Okay.
But I've been given free rein to play because I'm overseeing what's happening. So we don't know how much stuff we're going to keep, how much we're going to cut. So just keep going. So as we're keeping going, when we're in the context of the scene or in the moment, I'll just start to play. You know, maybe I'll talk to Bart's character. I'll talk to August or whatever. And I'll just add things and we're just going until they cut and say, all right, let's shut up the monkey, you know.
Or dance.
But it's gotten more and more. Like in season 4, there's been a lot of fun. But I have to get those lines verbatim and then around that. You know, because you might have sometimes like this, like the last season, you'll have like a 2-page monologue or something doing the whole introduction or whatever. And things happen and there's no cut because we're so live and we have so many big cameras in the crane that I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And you know, I've done a lot of improv in my background, so it's been fun to play that. And one of the great things, and more so the season 4, is I get a chance that I feel like that's kind of the comedic element of the show. It gives the audience a breather from what's really the show, what the show's about, what's really going on. And I've had a lot of fun to be able to have that opportunity to play that. And improv is just goes hand in hand with it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What about you guys?
Dan and I a lot, specifically.
We hear the AD Dan improvs a lot.
Yeah. We both play off each other pretty well, for sure.
I want to know, since we haven't figured out a lot about Graham's background yet, do you have something in mind? Like, do you...
Oh, yeah.
Can you share it with us?
Yeah.
My background?
Yeah.
What's your character work that you've...
Jeez.
That's a good question.
Acting. We're getting into it. Well, I've always felt like he was he's more messed up than anybody else, in my opinion. I mean, he's the kind of person that wanted to be like on a Spielberg movie, but needed the money and took this job and thought, I'll just bang it out. And he's been on the thing for 14 years. And I think in first season, he said something about winning an Emmy, and that's his big pride and joy. But he's always trying to deliver something that maybe someone out there with more importance than this show will watch and go, let's put him in our movie or in our TV show or something. So he has this, he wants more. I mean, he's incredibly insecure and he wants all the attention. He basically wants just as much to be the Bachelor as the people that want to be the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. Like, he's much like them. But he covers it up with this, like, hey, ladies, how are you? But underneath, he's just a miserable human being. Insecure, depressed, lonely. Oh, totally. Like, if they got to do it, there was a talk of maybe doing a web series with me and AD Dan, and it's what happens when the lights go off.
I love it. And I want it to happen.
Please do it.
Like, me and so AD Dan fun. Were talking to Stacey Ruckheiser, who's the best, our showrunner, and we were talking about some ideas that we had. Him and I had written some ideas to do, and it's straight up. half hour. It's funny. It's funny stuff. But it's what happens when the show ends. And it's we're both in, like, he's got a bitter divorce and I'm trying to do a one-man show about Total Recall. And I want to put a little person on my chest. Like, just, it's really sick and twisted and funny. And I don't know if Lifetime would do it because it's really not in their brand. But it's, no, so, you know, as every actor, I mean, everybody on the show is in their background. They have their characters. And we don't get into Graham because he serves his purpose. But still, as an actor, you have to create it. And I think a lot of the little elements you see in his monologues, because they're pretty standard stuff, is all of that. You know, when they say cut, and I go, this sucks. I'm so pissed. Shut up. It's because he's so desperate for something more than what he's doing. And so there's a lot of things going on with him that they brought out a little bit in season four, which is fun. So we'll see.
Poor Graham.
Poor Graham. Yeah. This season, he's sad Graham. Like, we had AD Dan had a phone, and he would just take pictures of me once we're setting up shops, because Graham wants to be, if he can't be famous and he can't be, you know, have his own show or be in a TV show or a movie or whatever, he can't be the Bachelor, he can't be, and women don't like him. What's worse than being around 25 guys? It's bad enough being around 25 women who still don't want him, but now he's around 25 dudes.
Well, there was one woman once.
There was one woman.
Season one.
There was, yeah, that's true.
What was her name? Chantal? I forget.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
She was like the violinist or something.
Yeah,
you know, she was a smart one, so you did get a good one.
Yeah. Well, I got a good one for a few minutes.
Yeah, it was a few minutes.
But it's been all 5 years since then, so, yeah. No, he's seriously... I don't know. There's a lot of darkness in that head, let me tell you.
Well, we're going to we have a tiny bit of news and gossip. We're just going to go over very briefly. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it,
Taylor? Sure. Okay, so Caitlin Fitzgerald, who plays Serena, is going to be in a new show premiering May 6th on Starz called Sweet Bitter, and it sounds really good. I think it's about like a 21-year-old waitress moving to the big city, and I think she plays like the mentor of the
lead. She's so great, man.
I'm so excited to see it. It sounds amazing. I think it might be based on a book or something, too. So that should be really good. Tyler Hines, who plays race car driver Billy, is going to be in a World War II drama called Peace. And I'm not sure when that's coming out, but I talked to him on a magazine called Star Constellation Magazine, and he told me that. And then Adam Demos, is that his name?
Yeah.
He recently spoke out about the crazy season of The Bachelor that just wrapped up, and he said that he could, like, just see how they cut it, and it was so obvious that like a Quinn-like person was behind it. So
totally,
ooh. Oz. She's like Oz.
Yeah,
Quinn. She is.
Mm-hmm. She's a puppeteer.
I was about to be like an evil Oz, but Oz was kind of evil. So
yeah.
But and also for you, Brennan, what is coming up next for you? Like, what can we see you on?
I'm doing. There's lots. I'm actually up for a pilot, but I can't disclose anything until it closes. But I am doing a series of movies that I'm hopefully will be producing and starring in with Lacey Chabert.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm also working on I'm writing and executive producing a TV series that I'm pitching to a network. And and I have 6 movies this year that I have to shoot as an actor.
Oh, my all gosh. Lined up.
Yeah,
oh,
whole cool. Hallmark, and there's one that's a feature. So maybe 2, but 1. I don't know if the second one will be a feature or a TV movie. But so I'm very busy. I've had a month and a half off. It's been nice to be with the wife and kids, and haven't had a month and a half off. Like last year, I did 29 flights.
Wow.
Which I just thought was, and I hate flying.
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
you're like living on a plane.
Yeah. So it's been, work, right? Yeah. So it's been great. Cool. And I've been really, really, really blessed. So I'm very busy and it's great.
Well, speaking of Hallmark, I was trying to find you on Instagram. And
I don't have Instagram.
I know, but there was all these hashtags. Hunks of Hallmark was a hashtag, and you were in all of them.
I have this. It's weird. I've been on Twitter for like a year and a half, and I have these. They're called Brennies, which I just found out about like 3 weeks ago, and they hashtag Brennies, but they follow you, all your stuff. The Hallmark fans, they're rabid. I mean, they're really great and awesome, and I love them dearly. And they're so like they'll tell you what they love, they'll tell you what they don't like, and that network has been really good to me. I've done a lot of business with them, and they're like family. They're great. So
make sure you guys check that out. And very quickly, let's get into some predictions before we go, because I know we all have some. Let's play the music in our heads. There it is.
Predictions.
Okay, very quick, guys. Let's start with you, Taylor.
All right, so people have been debating about who Rachel's going to see next episode. Some people have said father, which I originally thought, but now I'm like, 99% sure it's the guy who sexually assaulted her.
Mm, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then I... Okay, Madison was weird in this episode. I just love watching Madison. Yes. She's, like, one of my favorites. But does she care about John? Like, I'm so confused. What is their relationship? She never shows emotion towards people. So no. That was so bizarre to me.
Yeah, it was weird.
She's a snake. Like, she is.
I love her.
All right, how about you?
I think Madison's the one that cut the bun.
Yeah.
I think she's playing some sort of...
I heard a man
sort of,
laugh, though.
Oh.
But maybe it was a double team.
I think she's doing something weird to play with Quinn and Rachel and try to get Rachel against Quinn and get Rachel on her side, even though it's not working so far. But I think there's lots more for Madison these coming episodes.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, August is going to look amazing without a bun. And... And yeah. Quinn will hook up with him again.
Yeah, that's a good one. I agree with all of you guys. And thank you so, so much, Brennan, for coming
for
in.
Me.
We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And thank you guys all for tuning in. Let's start with you, of course. Where can everyone find you on social media?
Brennan_Elliott on Twitter.
Awesome.
I haven't done Instagram yet. I'm a newbie, but I'll get it.
You're fine. Yeah. We'll wait for it. What do you call it?
The Brennies.
Yeah. They're anxiously awaiting. How about you, Taylor?
You guys can find me on Twitter at alphaba_Ann and on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_.
Hey guys, you can find me on Instagram at LMPowers15 and on Twitter at LeslyPowers15.
Hey, party people, you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram and at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. We're not sure about a guest next week. We will tweet it out and let you guys know, keep you posted, but we'll see you then. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.